heal my soul. The Lord is on thy side. With patience bear thy cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to water and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, my past, my heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful land. Be still, my soul, thy cart hath undertaken to guide the few. Has the past. My hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. His voice ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When tears upon love's purest joys restore. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
Thank you for joining me again. I'm Jonathan Michael, and welcome to episode 2 of The Sacred Project. Today, I'm at Manresa Jesuit Spiritual Renewal Center in Pickering, Ontario. The center's primary mission is to provide a peaceful and reflective environment for individuals seeking spiritual growth, renewal, and deepening of their faith. On today's episode, I will be speaking with Father Michael Kutz, who will be providing insight about finding faith and healing in the face of loss. Come join us.
Thank you for joining me today, Father Kutz, for discussing a topic that is rather difficult for some, especially in dealing with loss and especially loss of a loved one. So thank you for joining me and being our guest today. As a priest, I'm sure you've had to deal with individuals who come to you questioning their faith and wanting spiritual guidance, especially after dealing with a tragedy. How do you help a family make sense of the loss of a loved one, especially a loss that is sudden and unexpected?
Well, at the moment you said loved one, immediately my mind went into three different categories. But let me go back a little. When I did my theology and philosophy in 1966 to 1964 to 1967, and again from 70 to 73, we had nothing about grief counseling or anything of that sort. Okay. I learned it on the go. We had a parish of about 10,000 people.
Right.
Only 1,000 would come for Mass, but the fact that we had a parish of 10,000, it meant we had to bury whoever died.
Right.
On an average, we had 50 a year, sometimes even more than that.
Right.
And it is from these people, from the priests and the lay people that were there, that I began to learn how to deal myself with my own baggage and with helping others. Some of them were very good and helped me, and they said, you know, what you said was very consoling. And then there were others who said, you know, you should have kept quiet, just be there. So right. They were God's gift to me in this ministry.
Right.
All right. So when I speak about loved one, first of all, I speak about a baby. Then I speak about a young couple who has lost a spouse.
Right.
And finally, an elderly couple. Each of these have got a different ambience altogether. For example, when you have a miscarriage, the last thing you need to tell a couple is, don't worry, you can have another one. Right. Again, you have to look at the couple. They are a young couple, and they are a couple who are in their 40s. This was their only chance. When the child has miscarried, very often, both the mother and the father have deep grief, but it's the mother most often. Mm-hmm. Not only will she grieve about it, she will give a name to the child. And the best way to deal with it, I found, is to have a little service for them. And they feel that they haven't totally grasped the loss, but that is a great sense of strength and hope. Right. Now, if they do not have a background of faith, as I said, 10,000 in the parish, 1,000 and come regularly. If they don't have, it is surprising that even if they don't practice regularly, if I suggest, let us say, a prayer, a service, they're grasping on to little straws, actually,
right.
And they're most happy to have that. Now, when you speak about a loved one with a young couple, for instance, a husband or a wife dies in a tragic accident, it is more difficult to deal with cases like that because there are no answers. You have a sense of denial. This is not happening, mm-hmm. even though you could see the body there. Mm-hmm. Then a sense of anger. Then they sort of bargain with one another, bargain with God, bargain with themselves, bargain with the church, bargain with their family. Mm-hmm. Then they go into a depression, I find. And they do not know. There's a sense of bewilderness and loss. And then finally they say, this is the reality. We have to go on with the flow. Now, this is taken from a very classical author, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who's written about death and dying.
Right.
But from a Christian point of view, and there is another sense after that, namely a sense of doubt. Does God really care for me? God said that he will protect me, and he's taken away my husband, he's taken away my child.
Right.
then there is a sense of, well, God has given me so many good things. As Job would say, God has given me all these gifts. When God takes them away, who am I to complain? All right? And finally, there's a sense of, you know what? We will all rejoice one day in heaven. And finally, I come to a loved one, which is a person who has lived together, like my parents. They were married for 60 years. My father died at 93. Oh. My mother died at 94. Oh. All right? Oh. There's a different sense. There is a sense of loss. It's almost like an amputation of a hand.
Right.
I've been with this person for so long. This person is not there. You reach out to them. I find that men in most of these cases would like just to go down to the coffee shop with their fellow buddies and just sit down and chat and talk. Women, I found from my own experience with my mother, they like to be taken out, you know, buy a new dress, get their hair done, go to a cinema, go to something that will allow them to speak all the things that are going on within them.
In your experience, what are some of the common emotions that people face when dealing with grief and the loss of faith?
Well, I would say that in dealing with grief and loss of faith, it's more or less like being told that you've got cancer. The first thing is, no, it's not possible. You know, this isn't possible. And even though you can see the body over there, it's a sense of denial almost. And then an anger. If this is the God that loves me and cares for me, why did he take such a loved one away from me?
Right.
You know, in cases like this, the worst thing that I can do is to start giving them reasons, because it's emotions that are involved. They don't want logic. They want to be reassured. They want to be affirmed in their faith.
And you talked about anger, but how can someone reconcile their feelings of anger or doubt with their religious beliefs?
Oof. I went through that same thing myself when, you know, I lost somebody that I loved so much and they passed away. I don't really have an answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
For that, it's simply patience. It's like having an open wound or having a heart attack,
right,
or having a stroke. You work with it. And the hardest thing at that time is patience.
Right.
You know, and the one way you can help them along is by being with them. That's what they need. They need somebody to affirm what they are doing. They need somebody to say, well, I can rely on you. And because you're here, everything will be all right. Now, they don't say that,
right,
but it is at the back of their minds,
right,
you know. And you always have to pick on their circumstances. You know, if the person is an only child, for instance, they don't have very much to lean on.
Right.
Like in the case when my mother and father died, I had all my brothers, I had my cousins. That grief was there, but, you know, it was a celebration more than a grief. When you have a person who is a single child, the doubts and anger, they're more difficult to deal with.
Right.
Now, that's my own small experience. I'm not a professional counselor, so don't quote me on that.
Right, right.
When peace like a river attenteth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast say assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of his glorious love. My sin, not in part, but the with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well. It is well with my soul. So
how would you address the question of why a loving God allows suffering and death?
I don't. I let them deal with it.
Right.
All right. I try to figure out what is going on in their mind. In that case, I very often would stress on all the great good things that God has given them without preaching to them. You have to be very careful.
Right.
You know, you stress about... You ask them to bring out all the good things that has happened. And the best way to do it is to recall memories of the one that they have lost. You know, you speak about his or her talents,
right,
his or her kindness and reaching out to others, his or her perhaps being a very introverted person, into arts and nature and things that they didn't come forward. It would be like they were people that you'd go into a room and not even notice if they were there.
Right.
So you have these two types of people. And if you're going to deal with a person who is gregarious and people who want to talk a lot, then give them the chance to speak about it. And you will find that they will have a sense of anger towards that God. Let them talk, all right? Let them talk, because they will have anger against God, against themselves, against their siblings, against everybody. Mm-hmm. But it is not really an anger which is going to be devastating in the sense that they're going to do any harm. It's just an expression of emotions that are going on within their hearts.
Wow.
For women indifferent, I found that, you know, when they have lost this loved one, they are easier to accept the fact, all right, God has given me all these good things. I had a good life with this person for so long, with my husband, with my children. It still hurts deep down, but I am glad and I'm grateful.
I was just wondering if you're able to share any personal stories or experiences where you witnessed individuals finding healing and renewed faith after the loss of a loved one. And what were some of the factors or practices that contributed to their journey of healing?
Well, one of the things I can say is, I had a friend of mine, a fellow Jesuit actually, who he had just joined the Jesuits and came from a large family, and his father and mother died at the age of 24, 25, when he was 24, 25. And there was a great deal of anger and resentment over there. He found it very difficult to deal with the fact that his parents had gone. And the one thing he said to me, I'm an orphan. Who's going to take care of me?
Right.
All right. He was lucky to be in the religious order. So we as a community bonded with him. There were some of them in the community that helped him along.
Mm-hmm.
In my own case, my mom and dad died, as I said, in their 90s.
Right.
I had lived with them. I had left them, actually, when I joined the seminary at the age of 16.
Wow.
So I didn't form a bond that was deep within them and an encounter as between father and son, mother and son. But they were more friends with me.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I also came from a family, large family of brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest brother, when my father died, for instance, he simply said about a month before he died, he says, has God forgotten me? My mind is absolutely as clear as possible, but my body is not working.
Right.
So I can't get up and walk. My heart is giving me trouble. My stomach is giving me trouble. Has God forgotten me? So when he died, it was a celebration for me.
Right.
But my brother cried very bitterly, because he was so much a part of my father's life, and my father was so much a part of his life. He was only 40. I was 60 at that time.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Then another case that I can remember where a husband and wife, they had been together for about 60 years, and the husband died, and the wife lived for 20 years more. Yeah. And for 20 years, she would call me every year on the day that the husband died. I celebrated a mass for her, but she would call me periodically, and I found that that was the way she dealt with her own grief.
Right.
Now, she was lucky to be able to make those calls, because it was a long distance call.
Right. So I understand that there is a poem that you brought today that you felt was relevant on the topic that we were discussing that you wanted to read.
Yes.
Yes.
You just don't lose someone once. You lose them over and over, sometimes in the same day. When the loss, momentarily forgotten, creeps up and attacks you from behind, fresh waves of grief as the realization hits home, they are gone again. You just don't lose someone once. You lose them every time you open your eyes to a new dawn. And as you awaken, so does your memory. So does the jolting bolt of lightning that rips your heart. They are gone again. Losing someone is a journey, not a one-off. There is no end to the loss. There is only a learned skill on how to stay afloat when it washes over. Be kind to those who are sailing this stormy sea. They have a journey ahead of them and a daily shock to the system each time they realize they are gone again. You just don't lose someone once. You lose them every day for a lifetime. Time does not heal the passing of somebody. It only helps you to deal with them. They will always be a part of your life.
Thank you, Father Kutz, for sharing that poem with us. And thank you very much for being my guest today on this episode of The Sacred Project. Thank you as well for watching, and we hope that you will join us next week for episode 3. Thank you.
At your back, may the sunshine warm upon your face, the rains fall soft upon your feet, and until we meet again, and until we meet again. Hold you in the palm of his hand. May the sun make your days bright. May the stars illuminate your night. May the flowers bloom along your path, your house stand firm against the storm. And until we meet again, and until we meet again, God, hold you in the palm of his hand.
Thank you for being part of the Sacred Project journey. Your support means the world. To help contribute to the creation of more episodes, please visit our website at thesacredproject.ca. You can also explore and obtain music from the series by visiting thesacredproject.ca. If you'd like to experience these beautiful hymns live in concert, come join us on these special dates. For more details and ticket information, visit thesacredproject.ca. Let's continue the musical journey together. See you at the concerts.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.